CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Patrick O'Donnell. The book is The Unknowns, and we're watching now 1921, 100 years before. The USS Olympia has arrived at Quayside, Potomac Basin. Eight body bearers, and we've gone through their names, Delaney, Jansen, Dell, Saunders, O'Connor, Taylor, Woodfull, and Rosga, carry the coffin. But the next 2 days are ceremonies watched by the whole nation. Certainly the newspapers covered very carefully. The leadership of the country greets the coffin. A couple of details. How was the body chosen? All these thousands of men who have been destroyed, and there's no record of their names and their origins. The choice of the body itself was designed by a man named Quackenbush. How did he imagine it, Patrick?
Well, Quackenbush is part of what's known as the Grace Registration Service, and his task is to find several American unknown. And they go to the major battlefields of the American Expeditionary Forces, which also corresponds with the major cemeteries of the AEF, where tens of thousands of Americans are buried. And Quackenbush and his detail go to several cemeteries, and they exhume what are believed to be unknown soldiers. They carefully exhume them and then carefully check the bodies for dog tags, diaries, letters, anything that could identify these individuals. Once they've found somebody that is unknown, as far as they can tell, they burn the burial ticket for each one of the remains of those people. And they brought several of these bodies back that were truly unknown to Chalon, France, where they lay in state at the city hall there. And it was there that the unknown was going to be selected by a flag officer or a general within the American Expeditionary Force, the occupation forces that were in France and Germany at this time. And the French interceded that night and said, you really should have an enlisted man select the unknown. Because enlisted men are the ones that do the fighting. And that night, an enlisted man, Edward Younger, was selected from the men that were there at the ceremony. And he was selected because of his service. Younger is kind of the quintessential doughboy. He's with the 2nd Division. We talked earlier about his service at Bonnemont. He was there at outside of Belleau Wood with the 2nd and went through many of the major actions of the 2nd. He was there on the night crossing of the Moose River, where the 2nd Division crosses in the final hours of the war and sustained many casualties. And it's he that is given this awesome responsibility of selecting the unknown. And I remember finding his original handwritten notes about that day. And he talks about how he prayed and he was given a bouquet of white roses and told to select from the flag-draped coffins within the city hall. And he walks in and, you know, he's just transfixed by the entire experience. But his arm, he says, literally moves towards the casket that he feels is the unknown. It might be somebody that he actually served with, he said, that had died in battle. And it was his arm moves there and it places the flowers on that casket. And that is how we have America's unknown soldier.
October 25th, Tuesday at La Havre. The casket is taken on board the Olympia, which was, I mentioned, Admiral Dewey's flagship in the Philippine War, so an honored vessel. And it spends the next days getting home in an Atlantic. And, Patrick, they almost lose the body. Well, how so?
The body of the casket itself is fairly large and significant, and they decide that they can't put it below ship. So it's lashed to the top of the deck of the Olympia, and the ship goes through a massive storm, and the the Marine Corps men, the detail that was aboard the Olympia, literally lashed themselves with ropes to the casket to prevent it from going overboard. And they save it. And the ship then arrives at the Washington Navy Yard. The pier is still there on November 9th. And incidentally, the Olympia is still in existence. It's in Philadelphia.
Right. I visited it as a child. It's wonderful to see the Olympia.
As have I. It's a great ship.
And the U.S. Navy is very proud of it. Now we go. November 9th, the body arrives, and the photograph on the front of Patrick's book. November 10th, thousands of mourners come, because especially families who didn't have anybody come home. And it's difficult for them to get to France, even if they know where their beloved is buried. On November 11th, the experience is everybody honors the resting place, which is not now what you see when you visit the unknown soldier. That was done in the 1930s. It was much more plain. Attending that day is leadership of the country. But one particular man needs to be mentioned here. Lieutenant Colonel Whittlesey. Who was he, Patrick? Quickly.
He was part of what's known as the Lost Battalion. And this is in the Meuse-Argonne Offensive. This battalion was cut off from American lines and surrounded by the Germans and pummeled, but they held out kind of against all odds. And Whittlesey and his men were very, just very determined. But they went through hell for many days of being gassed, going up against German flamethrowers and machine guns. Somehow, though, they hold out and they survive. The Lost Battalion survives, and he is awarded the Medal of Honor along with the man that's next to him that is marching with him at the for the ceremony of the unknown.
Most of these men were honored with attending a dinner with Pershing year before. This is 3 years after the end of the war, and they know each other, or they know of each other. Whittlesey returns to become an attorney on Wall Street, but that day, Patrick notes that he's sitting quietly watching this ceremony. The reason we're telling the story is that at the time, there was no language for what we now understand as PTSD. And what we're witnessing here is the tragedy that happened to Whittlesey. At the end of the month, he buys a ticket to Havana. Do we know why?
He's buying a ticket to Havana. It's a one-way ticket to end his life. And he goes aboard ship, writes a suicide note, and literally jumps overboard and is never seen again.
He talks about reliving the experiences. And Woodfill also talks about that, but does not end tragically. Woodfill goes home to Indiana, has a farm, has a life. All of them have good lives. I note how many of them lived well into the 40s, 50s. I think the oldest, the longest living is 59. Were they always remembered, Patrick, by the country?
No, many of these men, it's worth noting, John, that General Pershing hand-selected these eight men for a reason. They represented each branch of the service, and as well as different combat specializations. But he did it to tell the story of the American Expeditionary Forces through their eyes. But tragically, after their service, they're largely forgotten.
And until your work,
it was an untold story until the unknowns.
Until the unknowns. Patrick K. O'Donnell telling the story of the unknowns, the untold story of America's unknown soldier and World War I's most decorated heroes who brought him home. And when you visit the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, you'll know 100 years before, you'll know that the country that day stopped to honor the unknown. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.